Welcome to Radio Dale, the podcast for independent musicians produced by Dale Speaking.
We are one of Canada's top radio promotions and digital music marketing companies.
Radio Dale features fun music facts, inside information about the music industry, and advice for artists.
Hello, Dale Speaking, this is India.
Dale Speaking, this is Wu.
Dale Speaking, this is Amber.
Ring, ring, Dale Speaking.
Peter Piper podcasted a peck of
peppers. Peter pecked the Piper with his pecker. Piper.
Welcome to Radio Dale number 64.
This week in music history, what do Lady Gaga, Eric Clapton, and MC Hammer have in common?
On who charted the Billboard Dance and Electronic chart?
Rue's 60-second tip of the week, Bandcamp tips.
For our roundtable, when should you release your album?
And our song this week is from Secret Broadcast.
Now it's time for This Week in Music History, where we're going to look day by day and see what cool things happened in the past.
All right. To do with music. March 27th, 2001, Christina Aguilera signed a U.S. sponsorship deal with...
Coca-Cola.
Yes.
You know everything.
Only a month after Britney Spears signed a deal with Pepsi.
Interesting. And who won those cola wars?
Who did win?
Pepsi, like...
Pepsi did better advertising, but...
I like Coca-Cola better.
Yeah, I'm the same. So I guess Pepsi lost.
No. On March 28th, we have some birthdays. 1986, born on this day, Lady Gaga. Also in 1954, Reba McEntire.
That's exciting.
So Lady Gaga and Reba share a birthday.
Love it.
I think I read...
That's fine, whatever. I can follow the pattern. March 29th, 1973... Going back, what, 41 years? Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show got the picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone magazine. After their hit, the cover of Rolling Stone reached number 6 on the US singles chart. According to members of the group, they really did buy 5 copies for their mothers, just like the song said. So that's
so funny. So if I release a song that's like number 1 single,
on
then
the charts,
maybe it'll go to number 1.
It will, it can't not.
March 30th, this is a big one. 1945, born on this day, Eric Clapton.
Oh.
It continues. 1968, born on this day, Ms. Celine Dion.
Ms.
Yes, Ms. And 1962, born on this day, MC Hammer. MC Hammer is older than Celine Dion.
Wow.
Barf.
But you still can't touch him.
Ha!
Dude.
March 31st. 1958, Chuck Berry's rock and roll classic Johnny Be Good was released. It entered the U.S. charts 6 weeks later and peaked at number 8. The song's original lyrics referred to Johnny as a colored boy, but Berry later acknowledged that he changed it to country boy to ensure radio play.
Oh,
ooh,
clever.
Interesting, eh?
Interesting the times. And it's also interesting that one of the most memorable songs of all time only got to number 8 on the charts.
Yeah.
Which I was saying about The Cure. The Cure, like, never really charted high, but so many hits.
Mm-hmm.
April 1st, 1984, Marvin Gaye was shot dead by his father at his parents' home in Los Angeles, California. The argument started after his parents squabbled over misplaced business documents, and Gaye attempted to intervene and was killed by his father using a gun that had been given to him just months before. That's crazy.
And what's interesting, we have a different thing for April 2nd. Marvin Gaye was born on April 2nd, so he was
shot
the day before his
birthday.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't, and then I saw it.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So then on April 2nd, in 1964, the Beatles had their 4th UK number 1 with Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't buy me love. We're really shy with that one.
I don't know. I can't hit that note at all. I can't hit any note, especially that
one. It was also a great movie starring McDreamy back in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
Can't buy me love.
Yeah, he's on a little riding lawnmower on the front of it.
I love Patrick Dempsey. What a movie. And then they tried to remake it with it was like Lil Bow Wow and like...
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Starts with a C, Christina Milian or something.
Really?
Oh, it was horrible.
Never remake 80s...
classics.
Yeah, like imagine The Breakfast Club with like Zac Efron.
And Justin Bieber.
And Miley Cyrus. That truck driver, he disagrees.
But wasn't there a remake of Footloose?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that didn't do very well. Yeah.
No, I have condemned it.
Yeah, you can't do that. So, oh, yeah. I believe it is now time for Who Charted, where we look at the charts, various charts. We just choose a chart.
Yeah.
And it's a chance for people to hear what's working, what's not, and what's going on in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
The wonderful world of the music world we work within. So this week on Who Charted, I grabbed the Billboard electronic / dance charts. Mm. And just to, if you're not familiar with Billboard, they are fantastic, fantastic place to go and just pick any chart. Now, this is for the States, by the way. Mm. It's a US Billboard, but if you go, you can look at the top albums, the top singles from any genre, the top YouTube videos, anything.
And they have a Canadian chart as well.
Exactly.
The Billboard Canadian Hot 100, yes. I guess it is.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and they even have an emerging chart, which mm-hmm. I think we've looked at in the past. But just to give you an idea of how data is collected to make up this chart, is the most popular dance / electronic songs this week ranked by radio airplay, audience impressions measured by Nielsen BDS, mm-hmm. sales data as compiled by Nielsen SoundScan, streaming activity data by online music sources tracked by Nielsen BDS, and reports from a national sample of club DJs. So
interesting. Yeah. So they get DJs to say
exactly
this one.
So it's not just radio, because in a lot, like, some of these songs you may not even hear on radio.
Yeah.
So I just grabbed the top 10. So let's just start with that. Number 10, Tiesto's Red Lights.
Mm-hmm.
That's been on the chart for 13 weeks. Number 9, Lana Del Rey and Cedric Gervais. Summertown Sadness.
That's been around
still
for a while.
33
yeah.
weeks on the chart. Number 8, Zedd featuring Hayley Williams, Stay the Night. 27 weeks on the chart.
I like Zedd.
Number 7, Daft Punk featuring Pharrell Williams, Get Lucky. Mm-hmm. 48 weeks on the chart. Number 6, Cash
Almost
Cash.
Almost a year ago.
Featuring Bebe Rexha.
Yeah.
Take Me Home. It's been on the chart 35 weeks.
That's a good song.
Number 5, Martin Garrix, Animals. On the chart for 36 weeks.
I should know that one.
Number 4, Avicii, Wake Me Up, 38 weeks on the chart. Number 3, DJ Snake and Lil Jon, Turn Down for What.
Amazing music video.
Check it out on
yeah.
YouTube. 14 weeks on the chart. Number 2, Avicii's Hey Brother, been on the chart for 26 weeks. And number 1,
Brrr.
The Chainsmokers with #
oh.
Celtic.
Oh.
It's been on the chart for 5 weeks.
Oh.
We've mentioned that song in the past as being one of the top downloaded tracks in the UK, and there was no mention of it here in North America,
yeah.
really. So
yeah.
It's picked up. The two interesting things that I'll tell you from that top 10 I read, only 2 of them have been at number 1. That's Avicii's Hey Brother mm-hmm. and The Chainsmokers.
That's crazy.
Selfie. And you'll also notice that majority of them were between 33 and 48 weeks on the chart. Tiesto has been on there 13 weeks, the DJ Snake one 14 weeks, and then Selfie only being on there 5 weeks. So, yeah, there's not a lot of new stuff sitting in
no.
the top 10.
And there is actually a blog on Dale speaking about Selfie and
yeah.
that whole approach, the Matrix Publishing, which is a really weird term, but if you read the blog, you find out something they did to help boost interest.
Exactly, so you should check it out. And that is the this week's version, and I'm doing like jazz fingers, of
their circuit.
Who charted? Sweet. And now it's time for the 60-second tip of the week. Last week we looked at SoundCloud, and this week we look at Bandcamp. So a quick definition of Bandcamp, it's a lot like SoundCloud, except it works more like albums or singles, and you can sell your music on it, which is something that's harder to do on SoundCloud. So, number 1, you get your own page, and remember, people will see your music and read it before they hear it. So ensure you have good graphics and have somebody skin the page so it kind of like looks like your own website. You can actually use it as your own website if you like. And for reading it, make sure that you have a description. Take advantage of those description spots, the bio, the album, each song. You can put in lyrics. Some quick ideas to keep in mind. You can get your own custom domain, whether you buy it separately or you can get it through the pro account. So you could have it www.yourbandname.com and it'll go straight to the Bandcamp page. You can feature your favorite track from each album. So say track number 5 is your single from each album. Make it so that plays first if somebody goes to look at the album. You can let people pay more for your music, which is really important. Say $5 for an EP, but people are able to put in their own price. They may put in $10. Finally, Bandcamp has a Facebook app, and if you have a Facebook page, it's a great way to integrate them, make more sales, get more music spread around. And I think that's it. Bandcamp.
Very cool.
Double clap. Whatever that means.
Good times.
Good times.
Thank you for teaching us about Bandcamp.
No problem.
I realized that a lot of bands / artists do use it as their website.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And there's actually something called image mapping as sort of a bonus tip. You can find websites. I think one's like image-map.com. And you upload, say, the banner that will be at the top of it. But what you've done when you design the banner, you put like YouTube, Twitter, and all like words in the banner. And by putting it into image map, you can actually tell it, make this section a link to here, make this section a link to here.
Okay.
And then you upload that. What you end up getting out of image map to Bandcamp, suddenly the thing isn't just like a graphic of your album. It actually lets people click and find your YouTube and everything. It works like a navigation bar, basically. So,
okay.
Bonus tip. Ding. Cool. Thank you for sticking around longer. 50, yeah. The Ruse 90-second tip of the week. So, do we have a song?
Yes. So, we have a song that we want to play for you this week. And it's actually from Secret Broadcast.
Yay.
And we played on the podcast their first single from their new album, I guess it's probably a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
This new single we released a couple of weeks ago, already getting great reaction from music and program directors at rock stations across the country. Secret Broadcast are releasing the new album. It's called Filthy Souls on April 8th. The band is hitting the road on April 5th. They're doing a CD release party in Toronto at the Rivoli. The next day, they're doing a CD release party in Waterloo. And then from that point on, they're basically hitting the road, moving west. So I can tell you right now, there's a bunch of dates scheduled for Ontario. They're going to be announcing more for Western Canada in the coming days. And some more stuff from that point on. So make sure you grab a copy of the album. We'll be talking about it, linking to it on our social media. And they got some cool little tidbits coming out online as well, separate from the album, just some tracks that they did along with the album that's not going to be on the album. So, and this album was actually produced by Adam Casper,
mm-hmm.
who has worked with a lot of amazing bands as the producer for Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Nirvana, Queens of the Stone Age, and he really was able to help these guys really grow with their sound, and even taught them some Queens of the Stone Age tricks.
Ooh,
with the guitars. Cool. So I'll stop talking, and now it's Secret Broadcast with their new single, More Than Friends.
Tried to leave you signs. When I pulled your hair, you ran away in tears. I thought you would be between the lines. I remember the moment when I told myself I wouldn't give up without trying. Let's take our chances, make it last. Oh, tell me that you need it. Like I gotta tell you, I really like you.
Now I believe it is time for our round table.
Yeah.
And people may be asking themselves, when should I release my album?
Yes.
Can we help them?
Yes. So, can we help them? We can try. So
yes.
Basically, this is kind of the time that we just sit down and shoot ideas off each other, or we share some things we either know or what we've learned
mm-hmm.
regarding certain topics. And like Rue said, today's topic is something that comes up quite often for musicians, and it's, when is a good time to release my album? When should I avoid releasing an album? So we kind of just gathered our thoughts and thought we'd talk about it today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should start off with the number one time that you should not release an album.
Yes.
And let's, on the count of three, let's all say the month and see if we got it the same. So 1, 2, 3, December.
Christmas time.
Yeah, so Christmas time, sure.
December time is what I said.
So I guess, India, maybe you just want to start off with saying why people should avoid December when releasing a new album.
Yeah, well, this whole conversation is based off of three articles that are going to be in the show notes that sort of were talking about when is a good strategic time for you to release an album.
Mm-hmm.
And but they were all really different. So the first article was about when sort of in your career, how long you've been a band, you should release it.
Mm-hmm.
The second article was what months specifically are more advantageous than others. And the third one was when to release it sort of in terms of manufacturing and actually giving it to the public. So we'll start off with months because that's probably what most people are most interested in. So December is horrible to release an album because there is so much Christmas music out there. And it was really talking a lot about how even though there's music that's competition that's Christmas music, it's just not a good time to bother anyone in that month. Because from American Thanksgiving to New Year's, people are going to be with their families, pretty much. So it's don't book shows, don't have your album coming out. It's really best to wait until other parts of the year. But if you are an artist who wants to have an album out in Christmas time because it's a Christmas album, that really needs to be out in October.
Yeah, you need to have that out because if you're looking for airplay, and we've done podcasts about that,
mm-hmm.
if you're looking for airplay for a Christmas song, that's the plan, so that I have to start in September.
Way before, yeah.
But, I mean, and again, we're talking in terms of releasing a brand new album. So if you're looking at launching your album in December, having a CD release party, all of that, not a good idea because much like India said, people are winding down, people are doing their... like CBC, for example, or any other media, they're doing their end-of-year charts, specials, 2 weeks of radio shut down, basic 3 weeks, actually. If you're an artist and you're wanting to book shows because you released your album 6 months ago and you're doing whatever show, that's fine. Shows happen. But it's if you're launching yourself, the other danger that you run into when you release something in December, by the time January comes, that album's from the year before.
Yeah.
So released in 2013 and it's now 2014, automatically doesn't look good.
Yeah, because it could have been January for all the people know. It's not like you put month and date when you put it when you put it on the back.
Yeah.
So it's really rough when in February an album looks like it's already a year old.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a couple of months.
Exactly. So that's one thing you have to keep in mind as well. And the competition in December as well, you're gonna fall under so much traffic because that just November and December, those times of year when the major labels are releasing their compilations, they're releasing Christmas albums, like India said, they're releasing anniversary stuff, like box sets.
Yep.
They're releasing all of these things that are going to dominate the charts because people are buying them as Christmas gifts.
Yep.
So you as an independent artist are going to fall under all of that. So don't do it. Even if, like, we've had people release stuff in early November, and even then I'd say maybe just wait.
Hold off.
Unless you have, like, an amazing tour that you're maybe has come up in the works and you know that you can do it, then maybe I'd recommend looking at releasing your album late October, early November, but otherwise...
I think very specific circumstances.
Yeah.
It'll probably be 9 times out of 10 it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think in a couple other times that I noticed that from our experience and from reading these articles, another time to kind of avoid or... be wary of is the March, around March and April. They can be tough because in even just using my own judgment from this year, January, February this year was quiet for new releases, radio and album. March kicked in and everyone's releasing their albums, their singles. They do say that early summer is a good time if you want to release something. But that's, again, if you're going to be doing stuff, if you're going to be on the festival circuit, you're going to be doing shows, so you're able to sell your records. And then fall as well.
There's a lot of competition in fall, but it's a really popular time. Same with late spring.
Yeah.
So really what I found, it says sort of also be cautious of January because that's when people will be catching up from after all the sales that happened. But... from a lot of our experience, like January and February tend to be quiet. And for me personally, after all the Christmas music happens
in December,
I'm looking for something new.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite albums that I remember radio being really excited about too was an album that like came out right in the first week of January. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's that hunger then. And so that might mm-hmm. be something that you want to
take a look at. Personal advice might be to consider January, February, even if other people say early of the year isn't necessarily that good.
Yeah. Because then you beat the South by Southwest merch. Mm-hmm.
And that's a good point too, is when you're deciding when to release your album. So, you as an artist, you don't have the option to release in January, February. Be mindful of things that are going to take up the media's attention. So South by Southwest being one of them, Canadian Music Week being another, the Juno Awards being another, even the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yep. These are all things that are going to suck up the media's time, especially if musicians are involved. Mm-hmm. So if, like with Juno Week, all the media is going there.
Like CTV, I think all their Canada AM stuff, they're having Juno nominees in, so it's not a good time to try to get on TV if you're not a Juno nominee, because that's what people want.
Exactly, so be mindful of that, because you're going to release your album and then it's just going to kind of fall off. Exactly, so avoid that if you can. In India, my question for you, in terms of campus radio, if you're an artist saying, okay, I want to release my album, I want it to play on campus radio, I want to tour, when's the best time for that?
Well, see, the really busy time, again, is when school is in session. Mm-hmm. So typically, it's like fall and spring is the busiest mm-hmm. because everybody's gone in the winter because they go home. And everybody thinks that everybody's gone in the summer. But the thing is that the stations still stay open in the summer. So even though not as many volunteers might be there, it could be a really good time for people at the station to be more familiar with you, because there's typically not as much traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have a better shot at charting at some of those stations. But most people don't tour during the summer. So they think, because of all the festivals that are going on, or they're just doing festival shows, so they avoid releasing it to campus radio in the summer. So there are pros and cons of both approaches, really. You could go in the fall when more people would be listening and there would be more people there to potentially listen to you, but there would also be more releases. Or you could go in the summer with slightly fewer people, but you might get more of the attention.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the another thing, too, to pay attention to as well, kind of taking out which month to go with, it's also looking at your competition. So if, for example, you're a band that is constantly compared to the Trues, be mindful of when bands like the Trues and the Trues are releasing new music. Because mm-hmm. if it ends up that you release your album within the same window as the Trues, it's most likely that any media opportunity that you could be eligible for, they may take from you. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, a more established band is going to get the attention over you. So you're not going to be able to avoid it completely, because you're not always going to know who's releasing albums, especially people just dropping albums randomly these days without telling anybody. But it's something to keep in mind. Do your research. Be mindful of what's going on within the industry. Stay on top of that stuff, because that ultimately can hurt you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably... And that's the same with singles, too.
Yes, very true.
With radio.
And you can monitor social media to find that out. Most, especially indie or bands that maybe not have reached that level yet, a higher level, will most likely be talking about when their music is coming out pretty regularly on Facebook and Twitter. So if you find three or four bands that are similar to you, about the same level of success as you check their Twitter and Facebook, you'll likely know when stuff's coming out, whether that's a music video or they're going on tour or it's music.
And then when India was kind of just introducing some, like, what we're talking about, one of the things that we wanted to go over as well is not only when to release your album within the year, but when in your career should mm-hmm. you be releasing an album. So we did find an interesting article, and much like India said, it's going to be in the show notes so you can look at it, but it's a musician asking a question of, when should we be releasing our album within our career? Should we be, we've been a band for, it was like a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
and they see bands that release albums within the first year, but their fan base is small.
Yeah.
And the one piece of advice that the blogger wrote back to this musician that I couldn't agree with more is, wait to have a full album.
Yep.
Yes.
Wait at least 3 years as well. In the third year, have a plan to have the album done. But within the first year, just play shows, build the name.
Write songs.
Get
practice.
Be good at what amazing. You do. And then one of the important things, and I will bring up an example after this, is to, within the second year, do an EP.
Yeah. Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
EPs, they are, especially we talked about Bandcamp earlier, EPs are very popular on Bandcamp. Record 4 or 5 songs, put them up on Bandcamp, you can sell them there. And even play around with how you want to release your music. Maybe you want to just let people hear a bit at a time. Go to release an EP at say, August or September, but maybe in the early part of the year, you release 2 or 3 of the songs that will be on the EP as singles that you just let people hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought of 3 examples of bands that kind of followed that approach. Mm-hmm. So the first was the Sheepdogs. They just practiced forever in their basements, and then they released their album, and their debut album had I Don't Know.
Mm-hmm.
So then that came out. So that was a great example of waiting and then releasing a killer album that got a lot of attention.
And one that I mentioned the other day with Rue was the Strombellas.
Yeah.
Yes. They did the EP, and then they released an album, but there was 4 years, I think, before their album came out.
So don't be so eager to get an album out when there's technically no one to give it to.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's building your fan base. Mm-hmm. The people that are going to support you right away aren't going to be the people that stumble on your album.
And the other piece of advice that I want to give as well, which is something we constantly kind of preach here, you need to have more than an album. You need to have a tour.
Yes.
If it's applicable to you and you're able to tour, you need more than just, this band has a new album.
Yeah.
Because having a tour allows you to reach way more media outlets. It's going to be way more interesting for them, especially if it's a unique tour, if it's interesting, if you're touring with somebody who's really big, you can kind of piggyback on that. It's just something to keep in mind, because when you're going to a media outlet and here's my new album,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be like, that's great, there's 400 other bands that are saying the same thing to me. But they have this, this, and this going on.
Yeah.
So I've had it said to me, so not my album, but albums I bring. So
album. You shouldn't have done it that way,
so
Amber.
Yeah, so these are all little kind of pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, and it's always going to be unique to you, but it's a good idea to know, I mean, you hear the term the game. There's kind of a game about this, and there's good times and there's bad times to do things. There's good ways and there are bad ways to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's no official bad way, no official bad time, but there are some suggestions.
Yeah.
And it's best to sort of, especially with your first album, you want to come out of the gate as strong as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be releasing a month after forming your band in late November.
Bless you.
That's probably the worst thing you could possibly do if you want to actually have a bit of success. You want to build your fans, you want to build your skills.
Yeah.
And then you want to think seriously, which of the songs they agree with us. You want to think, maybe they disagree with us.
Like, Rue, you are wrong.
I'm so sorry. And there's always the time, the age-old advice, you're going to be writing 50 bad songs before you write your first good one.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with practice and playing.
And then the last really interesting tip that we'll just really quickly touch on was in the third article, and it sort of talked about when you're releasing, if you're planning a release show, when you should be looking at booking it and making it actually available. So it suggested that you take a minimum of 3 weeks after you receive the physical copy, because you are still going to want physical copies to sell at shows. Mm-hmm. To check it, go over the track listing, make sure that there are no typos or errors anywhere, and then look at booking your EP release party or your whatever event to make sure that it's okay.
Right.
They said that there were too many instances where they were like, put the CD in, it was one band, and then it was a completely different band. Yeah.
The production.
Wow. Like, how horrible would that be? And then, you know, you don't want to have a release party where you're like, actually, we don't have the CDs.
Yeah, you can't take that back, especially after you've sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This episode and last episodes were very focused on not rushing and being patient and having a plan.
I think it's like we said in, I think it was our podcast last week, when we were talking about the patience is a virtue.
Patience is a virtue.
It's basically the amount of people that we've had come across our path that are musicians that, you know, God love them, but they, you know, I need to get my music out now, and I have no plan whatsoever. And it's just one of those things where we just wanted to take some time and really focus on the different things surrounding an album release, and really just kind of break it down and explain, you know, what we usually say to people when we sit down with them, you know. So it's, we just want you to do it right, and it hurts us to see people who rush things and put things out when they shouldn't, because you can't take it back.
So. And it's not your fault because you're genuinely excited and you just want to be taking initiative. It's just that you got to harness that.
Harness it. Yeah. That's a good way. Harness it all. Patience is a virtue and harness your enthusiasm.
There we go.
There you go.
Done and done.
We just had to say that.
Yeah.
And just say, you figure it out. That wouldn't be very nice. But exactly. That is our round table. And I guess the final question is, does anybody have anything else to add?
No.
Look at that. Clear, concise, good. Thank you for listening to Radio Dale. You can find out more about Dale Speaking at www.dalespeaking.com.
We're also on Twitter at Dale_speaking.
We're also on Facebook. Just look under Dale Speaking.
And email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com.